Okay.
You ready?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, what a lovely day.
That's what it's like being on cocaine. Welcome back.
That's what bears mean in the
Welcome back.
Welcome
everybody.
Back to another BFD.
That's right, week two of movie reviews because we missed January because nothing real interesting came out.
Bears feeling
destructive.
Hey!
It works this time.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, we did it. Almost a year.
We just got back from the theater and gosh darn it.
This was a good movie.
As you all know, when we do these movie reviews, we usually break them down by plot, we usually break them down by story and characters, and we usually break them down by theme. But today, I think let's switch it up a little bit.
Because you know what? I was not paying attention to the theme we're doing.
We are going to talk about just simply how good this movie is at being a movie.
Dang straight, brother. Hey, do we know what the budget was? I don't know. It had to be high.
Editor knows the budget.
I have a feeling it was a mid-budget film, which, watching a video, not forming my own thoughts, and said that the guy was like, we're losing mid-budget Blockbusters. And that's what this was.
This is the first movie I've seen in a while where every character was somewhat likable.
Yes, that was the first thing I was going to say. Before you even see the bear, they set up things with every character that makes you know who they are as a person.
Yep.
And what they are and what they've gone through. And even if they're not necessarily, like, good people, you get attached to everybody. Which is great. It's a great payoff because, goddamn, this movie is brutal. It is really, really brutal.
You get attached to all the people, but all the people get disattached.
I knew that it was going to be, like, a little gory, but I just thought this movie was going to be more, like, funny with its gore.
Yeah.
This movie is funny in different ways, but when it comes to the kills, it's some of the goriest kills I have seen in a slasher film in a very, very long time, and I will call this a slasher film.
Imagine Mortal Kombat, but Cocaine Bear.
Yes.
That's what your movie was.
Yeah.
Imagine something
Mortal
different.
Mortal Kombat, but it's Kuma on cocaine.
Yes, all the characters were likable somewhat for the most part, which also sucks because there were a few deaths, just one, where I was like, dang.
Yeah.
But you know what? It turned out to be... well, kind of good, I guess, for one of the other characters.
Yeah.
One man's dog is another man's dog. You know how the saying goes.
I will just say, like, the movie just handles, let's say, its character work. Although I wouldn't say that this is Oscar-worthy in terms of character work. But I will say it handles it very well. Like Chris said, you get an introduction to common traits that these people have, the type of person that they are, and perhaps maybe what they want out of life, but at the very least what their problem is in life. Mm-hmm. And you get it very quickly.
And it's not through like over exposition of, oh, I did this, I did this. No, it's just by watching how they act and how they act to certain people.
Right, and you get one group, and you get one scene of these specific groups interacting with their, you know, counterparts, whether it's a daughter and mother, whether it's two friends who are also coke dealers and past coke dealers. And you get all these scenes, so when they come together, you understand the dynamics between everybody, and that just makes it for a very digestible film. Like Chris said, there's not a lot of exposition when it comes to the character backgrounds. And it's not, I wouldn't even say it's not even explored all that much. But I don't think that's to the movie's detriment because, you know, that's not the point of the movie.
Yep.
I went in thinking that this movie was going to be, like Chris said, just a real fun, just like bear attacks people and I'm just munching on my popcorn going, yeah, kill them, bear. Yeah. And it turns out that the movie does really well at making you like these people so that when the bear attack does come and you know it's going to be brutal, it feels more resonant because of that.
And also, like Hal said, it's not Oscar-worthy, but it absolutely feels that way when you have dialogue that is just so refreshingly realistic in a slasher film. Like, they actually talk like people. And again, yeah, yeah, okay. So if you watch a movie, you know what he's talking about. But that's what I really praise this movie for, is that there's not many jokes, but the movie is funny in how characters act.
Yeah.
And it's just, oh, God.
Well,
this movie's so good.
Before we move on to that, but not only were these individual groups well done, right? We have our, maybe you want to call it central character of a group, but then we also have this dynamism, these ideas, these people that contradict themselves and lead to both parties, you know, growing as characters for however long they live. But also, and I'm going to bash Stranger Things 4 right quick, because it was not good. Are you
Stranger Things 4 wasn't good?
Was not good. Because it handles its ensemble cast horribly. This movie, however, does it perfectly. We see everybody the amount of time that we need to see them. We see them when we need to see them. Mm-hmm. And then, like Kyle said, it coalesces at the end. And everyone is put together. Everyone who is still alive. Mm-hmm. And all of these ideas clash. And this is the moment, the climax, where the self-revelation is revealed. And that's something that didn't happen in Stranger Things 4, but it doesn't happen. It actually doesn't happen in a lot of ensemble cast films like Ant-Man 3, where you have several groups, but this one does it right.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, we were talking about the brutality of the film. This movie does a great job at kind of hooking you in to the theater with the trailer and giving you a good idea of what you're actually about to see by starting the movie with... And it does it a few times. It'll kill off some characters that you feel don't really deserve to die, but that's kind of the point. Its point is that you're going to... It's a brutal movie because it's a bear on cocaine. If a bear's on cocaine and that really happened, you know, people who don't deserve to die are probably going to die because it's a bear on cocaine. It's scary because it's unpredictable. It's also unpredictable to watch... 12-year-olds eating cocaine. I did not expect that to be in the movie.
Also
yeah.
A thing.
Now. So when I saw that happen, I'm like, okay, this movie's fucking hardcore.
Yeah.
There's no limits to what they're going to do now.
You know, what's crazy to me, and this is entirely subjective and probably not relatable to anybody else who saw this movie, but we were in a theater that hadn't had AC running in it in a few years. and it's also the speakers that project dialogue just are broken. But when the kids snorted, or excuse me, when the kids ate cocaine,
12-year-olds.
We were the only ones who audibly did anything. Because everybody else in the theater was just like... And I'm thinking, what the hell are these guys watching that's
scared
tame?
Me more than... Dude, yeah. As soon as she went, knife me. That scared me more than the bear.
Yeah, it was such a fun movie. Oh, just in like the absurdity of the concept. Because in real life, the bear that did cocaine died. Because, you know, when you ingest an entire block of cocaine, you die. But... The movie takes this like absurd premise
that, like, what
somehow,
if the bear didn't die,
right? And then, it just makes this it makes, like I said, this is just a movie. This is a good movie to watch. Everybody can enjoy if they're over the age of 17. What's
go,
the word?
You can cut around.
No. What's the word?
I don't know the word. I don't know the word. Cut.
Anyways, cut this up. It killed me when the woman like was getting her. Oh, God. What is that called? The stethoscope?
She went.
Shit. Good shit. It was good shit.
So good, man.
So what I want to talk about a little bit is this film toes the line really delicately between comedy and horror.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which,
yes.
You know, is a weird thing to do unless you're talking about a spoof like Scary Movie. But Scary Movie is meant to solely be funny. Mm. However, this film, there are a lot of horror elements.
Yes.
One of the first ones we see is Knut, if you know who that is.
$10.
He's with his wife, Elsa, and they're looking, and they see this bear, which is reflected in one of the final scenes as well. And we see it, he's like, or she is freaking out, high on cocaine, like, oh, let me see the camera. And they, you know, are kind of tussling with it, and they go back up, and the bear's gone.
Yeah.
And we're like, whoa, was it a bear? And then And then from the bottom of the frame, the bear just, and then we cut and they get attacked, and it's, and then there's just this chase scene that's horrifying because Canute is watching Elsa get torn apart and he cannot do anything but run.
Yeah.
Which,
and that's how the movie scares. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that, I think that's a good segue into what I want to talk about briefly, which is the filmmaking in this movie. Mm-hmm. Oh God, who was the director? It was Elizabeth something.
Olsen?
No.
I don't know.
No, anyways, so they filmed like most of this. So they filmed most of this in like a state park, or at least it's a proxy for a state park. I don't know where they actually filmed it, but they filmed a lot of this outside, and it never ceased to feel cinematic at any point. I'm remembering at the very beginning, there's a shot where the redhead's like wife or fiance was pulled away from the bear, and when she's pulled, the camera is on a dolly and pulls away from him too, from on his face. And yeah, it was like when I saw that shot, and that's like a couple minutes in, I was like, oh, we might actually be getting something kind of good here.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of scenes like that where, you know, the bear is CGI, allegedly. Mm. And there's a lot of scenes of like when the characters are looking around and there's a lot of negative space behind them. Because of like previous parts in the movie, you're conditioned to see the bear behind people come around and kill them. And so when later on you have a very shallow depth of field, but you can still see due to the negative space a lot behind the characters and their faces, and they're turning, looking, they're scared. You are constantly almost not even watching their faces. You're watching the space behind them. And that
the
only
space between us.
The God. And that only adds to the cinematic feel to it. To juxtapose from Ant-Man 3, where the editing in that movie was really, really bad, this movie handles like three or four different plot lines all simultaneously happening.
Very well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it nothing ever overstays its welcome.
Uh-huh. This is a movie that knows it's on a time limit and it uses its time very wisely, which you don't really see much from a horror film, especially a slasher film, especially now. The DP and the set designers worked very closely in this one because, again, like everything could kill someone. It's not just the bear in this movie, and the camera does a great job at sticking to these like tight close-ups that kind of pan around, shows you every like little piece of the environment, and it keeps you guessing. It's kind of like a lot of the shots, especially in the cabin, reminded me of the Final Destination movies, where it just keeps you guessing of how someone's going to die, like, ah, psych, it was this thing, and it does it so well.
The music was dope, a lot of it.
Yeah. It was very 80s feel.
It was. And this is where I'm going to talk about something I didn't like about the movie. Mm-hmm. There was a little bit of tonal clashing here. And like I said, horror comedy towing that line is very delicate. Sometimes it bleeds one way or the other a little bit too hard. Mm-hmm. But I this is more of a subjective thing, is if you're going to try and attempt to make a film feel like the 80s, which maybe that wasn't their intention, but using that style of music definitely leads to that idea, that tonality. And it didn't. It felt like it was made in, you know, 2020 or whatever. You know, it felt like it was a modern film, which isn't a bad thing at all. But I do wish if they were going to do that, they would have leaned into it just a little bit more.
I don't think you need that, because I mean, you talk about Stranger Things, that's set in the 80s, and they shoot using digital.
And I still feel that way about that show too.
Yeah, well, fair enough. But like, I don't think you need to, especially for a movie like Cocaine Bear.
They're not shooting
like a 3-hour like biopic they're trying to turn into an Oscar.
What I'm saying is, it's not a bad thing, but I do feel like when you try to make something feel like a certain time period, and nothing about it beyond what is physically there feels like a time period. You know, the purpose of music, the purpose of editing, the purpose of, you know, certain focal lengths, all of that, is to elicit a feeling. It's supposed to be subtle. It's supposed to be nuanced. And that this film doesn't have that.
Okay.
It doesn't feel like the 80s.
Yeah. And
it may look like it, but beyond that, it falls flat.
Yeah. I understand your point, because that's my problem with the Marvel Halloween special, This movie is super good. Yeah. If you have the chance to watch this.
Theater movie.
Yes. Go and see it in theaters. Absolutely. You're going to agree. And go with like a group of people.
Yes. Movie is real fun with a group of people.
So.
First time that I've really noticed a movie like progress throughout the day. Because like the whole movie is just like one day. And half of the second half of the movie is all outside. And there's one scene, the gazebo scene, where we stay on the longest. Throughout that scene, it gets darker. And noticeably gets darker. Which leads into the third act, which is just pitch black, which makes it just so much more intense.
So now that you've heard everything that we have to say about this incredible, amazing, cocaine-orific movie, what's our rating?
I'll let you guys go first.
Go ahead. You're up first, Kyle.
You know I had to do it to him. This is a 9.5 out of 10.
Let's go. Let's fucking go, Jake.
Go ahead, Chris.
No, Jake.
Go ahead, Chris.
Go ahead, Jake.
Go ahead, Chris.
All right. You know what? You know what? 10 out of 10.
I knew it.
10 out of 10.
Jesus Christ. Oh, my God.
It's Jason Bourne.
I was going to say 9.8, but 10 out of 10.
So, as a movie, man, this is fucking good. Yeah. It's a great time. As a film, it's like a 7 out of 10.
None of this even has to be. Yeah, because it's
cocaine bear this. Just
making me sick to my stomach over here. What the heck?
Oh, Jake's gonna shit.
Operating on extremes back here. What are we, the Sith?
How is it extreme to say it's less than average?
To say 9.5 it's and not go to the other end of the spectrum? Whew.
It is less than average in terms of like... Guys.
You should go see this movie. If you like this review, make sure you leave a like. If you think Kyle's crazy, go ahead and leave a like too.
Well, don't wait. That is a broad statement.
Which means more likes.
Oh.
So yeah, if you agree or disagree, well, you do with that information what you will. But what you should do
is watch Cocaine Bear.
Like, comment, and subscribe.
Yes, definitely do that. And guys, we will see you next week. Oh, also, oh shit. Wait, we should redo that again, but mention the mailing. The film.
They're in the mail.